Hello, my name is BC Slumber, and welcome to my first ever patch breakdown video. Today, we're going to be exploring a patch that I've performed on two different occasions. One at the Conservatory of Music in Queensland, as part of a PhD performance. We had been organised to put on a gig to sort of introduce the school to any newcomers, or even show some of the undergraduate students what students like myself who were doing their PhD, what we're up to and all the progress that we have on our projects. So on YouTube, you can see in the videos in the playlist above that I've been working on a portrait patch series for a while. Now, this has come from my love for jazz music, and I noticed a couple of jazz artists that I particularly love releasing portrait albums throughout their time, especially in the 60s, one of them being Bill Evans. And I saw this Portraits in Jazz album, and it just inspired me to explore what a portrait might sound like in the world of modular synthesis. So in this patch, I am exploring recent feelings, I guess. Just a bit of a disclaimer. A few weeks ago, I was diagnosed with ADHD, and while I didn't think that that really affected me all that much, I was certainly happy to get some clarity, but I didn't think it emotionally affected me too hard. I did start medications, and I did realize that my brain has been working on overtime for many years. I also noticed that for years I've been having problems when it comes to meditating, and I make meditation music, but I can't partake in the activity. So I always found the creation of patches to be something somewhat meditative for me. So what happened was I created a patch that I wasn't particularly happy with, and I had only 2 days until my performance at the Conservatorium of Music. I then cracked a nani and forced myself to unpatch everything at about 10 o'clock at night. And I said, I'm not going to bed tonight until I've created something that I'm happy with, that's really representative of how I'm feeling at this point. So to explain it a little bit further, this patch covers a couple of things. It covers how my brain sort of felt the first day I took the medication. There was a relaxed sort of synergy in my mind that I'd never really experienced before in my life. Everything just kind of went quiet. And then what was there was just single thoughts. And rather than a sort of racing cacophony of different ideas that are sort of fighting for first place. So I found that to be extremely interesting and definitely changed the way that I feel about my own self. But then the medications wear off and sounds come back into your mind, well, more like thoughts, hectic thoughts, intrusive thoughts, sometimes negative, sometimes positive, but thoughts nevertheless that overlap each other. So I wanted to explore how that might sound as it comes in and out. Now, let's start breaking down this patch. What we have here is my Amalgamod case, where I have assembled modules through test and trial and error over the years of things that I like and things that I don't like. I like immediate tactility with my instrumentation, where I can turn a knob and it's going to give me, you know, immediate change in the sound, no matter how small or loud. So let's start off with the first sound source. The first sound source we have here is classic modular sound rings by Mutable Instruments. In this, I'm using the secondary green mode, which is more like a wavetable synthesizer. Throughout the performance, I play around with this dampening knob And what this dampening knob is doing is opening up the decay or release time of this envelope and allows the plucks that occasionally come through like so just to be shortened up. Now, through the performances, this part of the patch has changed a little bit. The first time, it was even in higher octave than this, and it was quite harsh on the ear, as told by my grandmother, who was in attendance. Now, this particular sound source is being fed a couple of important information from Rene. Now, Rene Mark II is a sequencer by Make Noise. And I currently have it set up. So it is receiving clock, well, a gate from branches by mutable instruments. And this is just being clocked via a subdivision of the tempo coming from my digitone. Now, what this does is it sends in a gate into my branches, and then branches does a heads versus tail decision. And every single time it hits red in my case over here, it sends a gate through to Renee, which triggers the next step in the cycle. I also share that gate with the pluck of that instrument. And what happens here is the gate is going into Renee. It's triggering the next step. Those are then going into Ornaments and Crime. Now, I'm aware that within Renee Mark II that there is a pitch sequencer or a volt per octave sequencer in there where I can actually scale in the sequence that I might want to play. But instead, I'm running it through Ornaments and Crime, so I'm able to create new sequences on the fly without worrying about it going out of tune. So let's do that. If I get branches here and I make it all the way to the left, it means I'm going to have a steady stream of notes coming through. Now, I can choose to have this in an arpeggiated sort of way where I get them to slowly increase in value. Which makes for a nice upwards arpeggiated pattern, and maybe I might go downwards on the top here. So an up and down sequence. Now, the thing about Renee is I've selected here the steps in which I would like for it to play. And what makes this particular sequencer so performable is the fact that I can turn off some of these gates while the patch is playing. And this is going to completely change the overall feeling of the sequence. I can actually bring it down to like a three-note sequence. Introduce new notes slowly by pressing one of these note releases here. So it's quite an interesting way of creating melodies on the fly. Now, I usually play around with this for the first part of the entire performance, allowing effects and automating by hand the rings parameter here to shorten this up. Now, with this, I'm going to introduce another sound. Now, this is a sound that is programmed into the digitone. The digitone and the OP1 here is running directly into a module called the Pico input. And this is simply turning line level into Eurorack level so I can run it into the system and have it work with my effects in an effective way. So let's bring in this digitone sequence on track one. If you're unfamiliar with the digitone, it's an FM sequencer. or FM synthesizer rather, with a sequencer within, and we have four different timbres in which we can have going at once. I'm using four different timbres for different things, and we'll go through those in this video. Now, for clarity, I'm going to turn down the ring sequence. Now, pads, sorry, not pads, the digitone has pads in it. But we'll get into that soon. The digitone and the OP1 together are going into Beads, the texture sequencer, a texture synthesizer from Mutable Instruments. I'm obviously loving the word sequencer at the moment. And what this is doing is it's currently pitched up an octave. So whatever sound goes in there, for example, if I turn this down and I press a C note on my OP1, it's going to take that C note and play it back. Up an octave. I'll play a little piano line on this. And I can use my time knob here to scrub through the buffer that I've set here. Now I'm choosing the red mode here, which is a 4-bit sampler and allows me to scrub through and go back in time a little bit. But what's really beautiful with this is when I do have this sequence going through, I have beads clocked by one of the gate outputs by Marbles here, and it's not being played perfectly. It's occasionally skipping clocks, and that means that sometimes I'm going to have that pitched up playback and sometimes I'm not. But it allows for a nice journey and a nice accompaniment to any of the rest of the patch I'm bringing in. And I can occasionally play a few notes here on my OP1. Freeze that buffer as well by pressing the freeze at the top, and now I'm actually able to cycle through that little lick that I played, and it kind of sounds almost like a violin or some kind of orchestral swell in the upper half, which is really lovely. So that's that sound source. Let's now move on to the second. I'll bring the rings back in, by the way. I'm going to turn down the line level instruments. Now, if we look at the next patch we have here, you're going to hear this in the low end. Now, this is a bass synth, and this is being played by Platts, another Mutable Instruments module. I'm a bit of a fan. And this is going directly out into Blades, a multi-mode filter by Mutable Instruments as well. Just to bring a little bit more grit to this sort of really pretty soundscape we've created, and I often believe in ambient music, the low end is kind of neglected. I hear a lot of ambient music, especially drone-style music, which is focusing very heavy on the mid-range instruments. And while this patch does as well, everything's pretty much between 100 and sort of 1500 hertz, with occasional tinkles above, I do feel like bass frequencies and bass lines are quite neglected in that space. This Platts is being sequenced by kind of an unconventional method. Now, it's not entirely entirely unconventional, but it's by Pamela's Pro Workout, which is my master clock of the system. And I'll be explaining a little bit further about that soon. But I set it to play a looped random sample and hold sequence of 8 notes. And what it's doing is it's quantized into pentatonic major. And my module here is tuned to C. So what it's doing is it's playing a bass line, 8 notes in length, in the key of C pentatonic major. And I have a bit of random in there as well, so occasionally it'll play a random note. But for the most part, it's pretty smooth. And it's just really there to accompany everything else. Now, when I've been performing live, there's been, on 2 different occasions with this particular patch, I've kind of really pushed this. Much louder than this. But for today's patch, I'm just going to keep it nice and low in the background. Let's add a couple of extra notes back into our ring sequence. Let's now move on to the next sound source, and this one's quite interesting, and it's not one that I'm using for a lot of the song. It's not a consistent like the Dicky Tone and the rings is. The next sound source is, funnily enough, rings, and it's rings doing the exact same thing, exact same sequence that's coming out of the Rene, but this time it's being sent into maths into channel 2, and it's being attenuated. If you're unfamiliar with rings, rings is quite a high output module. It's loud. It's really, really loud. I actually blew up one of the channels in my mixing desk from plugging it directly in from my modular synth when I first started in Eurorack. But after this, it's been attenuated, and then I'm sending that sound into, now I can never say the name of these modules, but Kozalin. This is by Chaox, Zoax, Chaoic, I can't know how to say it, but it's a, you can see it in the patch notes below. I'll make sure I include the build of this system on Modular Grid in the bio. But this is a stereo frequency shifter. I'm just using it in mono. And it adds just this beautiful bell over the top. Now what I can do with this is I can perform on this. And now, this was a relatively new purchase of mine, and I was actually convinced by a friend of mine, Mugen, another fantastic musician, very blessed to have him in my life, especially when it comes to art and just, you know, having somebody to bounce ideas off. But he kind of made me reconsider how I'm approaching modular, and he sort of brought to my attention that I didn't have many devices in my rack that changed the timbre of an instrument. And so I sold a couple of modules and funded a frequency shifter and a phaser. And I'm actually stoked. I can add these sort of atonal timbral changes to my sound. That make for just a really interesting experience for the listener. If I shorten down rings, then the frequency shifter really reacts in a different way. can start using it as a hi-hat, like a pitched hi-hat. Start using it as like a low sort of mid-range Hofner bass pluck. We change the range of the frequency shifter, kind of like a drum or something along those lines. And I kind of like how it brings something to my track that isn't a perfectly in tune sound. Now that's one that I bring in and out occasionally, and I've decided to not modulate the loudness of this, because this performance patch wasn't made for sort of generative production. It was more so made for a performance patch. Up next, let's go through some of the other sounds that we have. The next one we're going to look at, I'm going to skip a few channels here and we'll come back to it. I'm going to turn up this pad that I have within Morphogene. Now, this sort of atmospheric and stunning air to the overall timbre. I love the air around the sound source that it was. Now, this is actually a recording of a saxophone, a breathy saxophone that I put through a sampler and then played some notes into that and was recorded into the Morphogene. This is then unclocked, so it kind of is just playing through some of the random notes that are in there. I particularly love when it plays the sort of end of the sequence. There it is. And it kind of goes up in scale and it's just beautiful. Now I have this on my Morphogene just playing at standard speed. Though sometimes if I turn it down on the SOS knob, allow the reverb to take over for just a little bit, and then I put it down an octave and bring it back in. It really sort of fills out that lower mids, and it's just warm and feels kind of like a, kind of feel like it feels like a hug during winter with like a nice hoodie on. Now, this is all going into Mimeophone, classic pairing of Make Noise and Sound Hack instruments. Now, this I have on the longest loop, zone, and rate I possibly can with the Halo, which is a kind of equivalent to a reverb on there, all the way, well, not all the way, but nearly all the way up, with a couple of repeats. And really, what this is, it's just to smear all the sounds within the morph, coming out of the Morphogene into one. Now, if I actually remove the Mimeophone, turn off the reverb. and doing some of the white noise, and I had the Udo Super 6 synthesizer playing some arpeggiated notes, now that I hear it dry. So if I bring back the reverb on Sea Lakes, bring back the mimeophone. Seems to have run out of material, eh? Very strange. Here we go. Alright, let's bring back the diggy tone. Standard speed of playback. There we are, that's nice. And it will slowly start feeding back into the mimeophone because I think it ran out of repeats. Which is sad because I really like that sound. Alright, let's bring back the bass. Obviously performative things that we can do with the morphogen in this case. I can shorten down the grain size into a really quick repeat and scroll through the buffer. But obviously in this kind of mode, you're not really going to hear it too clearly just because of how really drenched in sort of delay and reverb it is. But let's move on to the next instrument that I usually bring in, and there's a couple of them. A few more layers on my diggy tone. And this is just a little pluck. Which you can hear kind of in the stereo image. Some of the color. In my morphogen. So I have that. Now if I start fading out my morphogen, I also have in the diggy tone on track 2, I have another pad. Sad. definitely sounds like it's sort of entering its maybe sad era. There's a strange sound that I have here on track 4 that I don't really use much, or haven't in this performance anyway. Comes in very rarely. You might hear it soon. It's a bit more of a distorted sort of sound. This is more so just to change the overall direction. Just have something that's a little bit, there it is, and just have something that's just a little bit outside of that pentatonic major sound. And while the notes are still largely within it, it's more so just giving the listener, I don't know, another dimension that they can sort of sink their teeth in. One of the more beautiful things about Blades, I mean, it is a digital filter, but it just has this beautiful resonance. You just gotta be really careful. It's one of those things where it's like, well, it's like this with all resonance. It kind of goes to a point where it's a bit too much, like that. Where Blades doesn't, I don't find that higher sort of resonant sound in Blades particularly pleasant. Whereas maybe on Three Sisters or a analog module, I do. I do love how Beads reacts to that sort of more distorted sound there. But let's, yeah, there we are. Let's bring that out and slowly work our way back to the patch that we originally had, because there's a few more sounds in here that I do need to explore. The next one that I'm going to explore is Arba. Now, I use Arba probably in a similar way to most, and I actually don't really dive in that deep. I kind of use Arba, or Arba, I always spell it wrong. In a pretty, unremarkable way. I record sounds from synthesizers in the studio or from Ableton or something along those lines in there, usually arpeggiations within the scale that the performance is in. And from there, I will put different chords onto different numbers. So I often do on alpha, which is the first sort of layer. Here I've done Rhodes recordings. I have a Mark II that I love recording into any granular synthesizer. Which is very beautiful. Then if I go up to the next one, I think I have more Rhodes. Third layer, is very much one note, but you can do very cool things with this, especially when you're matching it rather with a pad as like a pedal tone or something along those lines. Let's then go to the next. Now this is my favorite reel for this set. If I go to the second half of the reel and expand out the length, I just particularly love the sounds that are in here. And to me, it really complements everything else that can fit into it. So if I bring back in rings, just such a lovely sound. I also have it on the mode. So up just above the pitch knob on ABBA, there is an attenuator. Attenuverter, I guess, and towards the left it's random voltages, and towards the right it's quantized voltages. And that's one thing that I'll be honest with, when it comes to modular, I really do lean into quantization. With the sort of Buchla system I have, I am exploring outside of that, but there is something about it. In the end of the day, for modular, for me, while yes, I do explore sounds and timbres and everything like that, I do explore more so composition and how I can compose something with such tactile immediacy. Let's go to the next reel on ABBA. So each one just has these slightly different timbral changes. And what I can do is I'll put that into the song and we'll explore how they sound when performed. So I'm going to actually unclock the R bar here just by pulling out the clock that's coming from Magneto. It's best that I mention that R bar is going directly into Magneto, which is a fantastic delay from Strymon. Now, so I have the song playing. I can get my sequence from my rings going. I'll make it a little less frequent. More like occasional little hits. I might bring back the diggy tone just a little bit. There we are. So now with the R bar, instead of the morphogene as my pad, I can create like a morphing pad that sort of cycles through these different sounds that I have programmed into it. Let's have a listen. It's so performative to me. I can change the length of it, make it really short. You get these sort of fluttering sounds. Having that going around the mix, absolutely gorgeous. Call and response between the two different pads. So I have my pads going into my performance mixer on channels 7 and 8. So I can do things like this where I have like... and really sort of A, B my pads in a musical way. Now you may have remembered at the top of this video I spoke about an ADHD diagnosis. I wanted to sort of create a sound that sort of represents how my brain feels when the medication's wearing off. How does it feel when I'm losing that sense of direct bliss and sort of uniformed quantization that my brain has when the medication is working? And I guess it's really strange because I kind of feel like what we're listening to now is the way that my brain worked when I was very young. And then I guess something just happened. Could have been a number of things. And then sounds like this started creeping in. And they're not all bad and not all evil. Some of them are extremely musical. In tune. Sometimes they're out of tune. Sorry about that. But what I usually do when I perform this section live, and what I'm playing with there is a couple of different parameters. One is, well, how's the sound being made? Let's go from there. So the sound is being made by the mannequin's oscillator Mangrove, and that is running into a filter. I actually have that running into Blade's left-hand channel. I'm not really doing anything with it. I can filter that out. So if I want to have a bit of a softer feel and have it in the background, I can have it really low. Low pass it or band pass it. And it just creates like a little texture there in the background to tickle our ears. But what's happening here is Mangrove is running into Blades. And then this is running out and going directly into my mixer. And you think, oh, that's quite a simple process. Well, it is, yes, except the sequence that's going into Mangrove is coming from Pam's new workout, and it is a very quick, quantized, randomized pitch sequence, or volts per octave sequence, going from Pam's, obviously tuned into pentatonic C major, and that is going directly into the volts per octave of Mangrove. Now, matching that, but not perfectly, because I'm actually using marbles. I'm using marbles rate and clock here, which is being clocked by Pam's, but the rate is sort of independent and works in different clock divisions of the of marbles. Works in different clock divisions of the tempo, rather, I should say. And what's happening there is as I turn the rate up, it is triggering an envelope within maths. And I'm using this envelope in cycle mode. So I'm using the attack at its absolute fastest. And then I am using a random voltage source from Wogglebug to modulate the decay time, or the, in this case, it's called the fall of this AR envelope. This is then actually modulating the volume output on the mixer. So it makes, it goes from what we hear here, which is allowing some of those pitch quantization or pitch frequencies to come through. If I really shorten that up, you start hearing it go into audio rate like there, which is quite beautiful when it goes from audio rate, which is putting it technically out of tune from the song, and then it moves away from that into something where you can hear those pitches. It's beautiful. I also play around with the shape of this envelope, and I go all the way up to exponentials max, and it gives you that really crushed sound. But again, when that sequence does come back and it's clean, it's beautiful and gives wonderful ear candy to the mix. The next sound that we're going to explore is one that doesn't really appear in all the performances I've done of this patch thus far. It may appear tomorrow night, but this is a... It's rings again. But it's a different kind of rings. So this rings is playing a different... This is playing a classic bell patch from Rings, and it's being strummed and sequenced from Marvel's and Pamela's workout combination. Now, what's happening here is this is going out of rings, and it's going into the input of the Pan Harmonium by Rossum Electro Music. Now, this is a module that I'm sort of still learning and fully understanding, though I have found things for it in previous performances, especially one that I did with Cy Gorman running his acoustic piano directly into it live, which created crazy sounds. It was awesome. So what's happening here is it's a resynthesizer, so it's taking in any sounds that are coming into it, and it's recreating that sound out of synthesizer voices. As we're probably aware, you stack up a bunch of different sine waves on each other in a particular formation, and you will end up actually recreating the sound. And that's how this works alongside the Spectrophon from Make Noise, which has a similar kind of makeup. I can actually change the octaves here. You'll hear that it's taking that sound. I'll show you what it sounds like clean. Which is quite a beautiful sound in itself. Through the Pan Harmonium, and it's adding extra layers on top. I'll change it back to the sine wave. Now we're getting some of those sort of more dissonant frequencies there, because we're currently having it on 11 different notes. So when we bring in a sound, it adds 11 different voices on top. Let's change it back to one. Actually put it up a seventh and add a harmony. Which is also extremely beautiful. But I like to keep it at 12 o'clock. add a couple of voices. You sort of get this weird... I don't even know. Sort of phasey, bandpassy, notchy sequence, filter sequencer, because I'm also running it through Sisters, Mannequin Sisters. It's just a bit of a filter with a filter envelope going in that's giving it that kind of percussive sort of element. Last and certainly not least is a brand new sound I only just added in before recording this video. I thought I wanted to introduce my Tip Top Buchla easel that I'm building into it, so I added a sequence that I mucked around with last night, and I recorded it into the Distinct Mark IV, and from there I literally just recorded it and it's playing back unclocked. But what I love about it is I used a white noise source from Source of Uncertainty module, and it's kind of creating waves. It's just crazy. I love it. So I'm going to add a little bit of white noise from Sea Legs, which is my master sort of effects bus. Got wind. And waves. So, so, so beautiful. Love it. Alright. Now I actually have this routed, this Distinct Mark IV sample playing the Buchla. It routed in quite a strange way. I have the left ear going into the Desmodus Versio reverb at 100% wet. And I have the right-hand speaker, right-hand side signal going directly into my mixer. And then I'm playing it, so it's playing A and B, channels A and B, channel 6 all at once. And what I'm getting is the left-hand side of the mix on the Buchla was white noise and a bass synth. And the right ear was two sequences, kind of mids to high mids. So what I'm actually getting is just a reverberated white noise and low end from the Desmodus. And it seems to be working like a wave, which I think is awesome. So what I'm going to do here, I'm going to wrap this up because I have to go and do my job. But I'll play a small set of this for about 7 minutes, just exploring how these timbres all work together.